You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
10, 9, 8, 7, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition, 2, 1, 0, we have a liftoff. We have a liftoff and it's lighting up the area. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center as the second pilot is moving off the pad. It is now clear of the tower.
Hello and welcome to the White Rocket Podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Books in association with the Earth Station One Network. It's one long conversation with a variety of guests about the best of popular culture. I'm Van Allen Plexico. Today's episode is a very special one because, as you may have noticed, this is episode number 50. We started out in the fall of 2012, and in a very short 2 years, we've managed to get 50 episodes put together for your listening enjoyment, we hope. So for the 50th episode, I've been planning this for quite some time now. Every time, pretty much, that I've remembered that I've talked to someone who's been a guest on the show, before we got into the main topic, and unbeknownst to you, the listener, I asked them all the same question, the same one question. And that question is, what would you take with you to a desert island if you could only have one pop culture thing with you? Now, the original idea was that they would choose their favorite book, their favorite TV show, their favorite movie. I had to grant them electricity. I think that comes up in one of the conversations early on. I granted them electricity so that if it's a set of DVDs or a movie or something, but I really wanted to get at the one thing that people would want the most if they could only have that and nothing else. So we now will go into all the various clips over the next however long this takes. Probably not terribly long. There haven't been that many. And hear what each of our guests from past episodes have chosen as their one pop culture thing that they absolutely have to have with them on a desert island. We'll start out now, and I'll see you guys at the tail end. Okay, and now we are joined by Anthony Taylor. Anthony, what is the one pop culture thing, whether it be a book, movie, TV show, or something from a pop culture universe, that you would want with you if you were stranded on a desert island, and why?
Well, I guess aside from Deanna Lund from Land of the Giants, for obvious reasons, probably the TARDIS, because then I wouldn't be stranded on the stranded on a desert island anymore. I could go anywhere I wanted to.
Okay, I see. Well, let's say that you only had one bit of entertainment then. What would that be?
Entertainment. Wow. That's a good question. I don't know. I would say a Blu-ray pack of Stanley Kubrick movies.
Oh, there you go.
That's a kind of a nice tight package. You know, he didn't do 100 or 150 movies. They're all, you know, excellent. They're all kind of like the top of their game for each genre that he delved into. And I can watch them over and over and over. I just watched a little bit of Spartacus this morning, as a matter of fact.
There you go. Okay, well, thanks very much for that. And now we're here with Jim Beard, noted New Pulp and comics writer. Jim, what is the one pop culture thing
that you would want with you on a desert island, and why?
Oh, geez, the one thing that I would want doesn't exist yet.
Ah.
And that would be the DVDs or Blu-rays of the 1966 Batman TV series.
There you go. You're a big Batman TV show fan, right?
Absolutely, yes. It's my most favorite TV show of all time.
All right, well, there you go. That's a very interesting. I'd be willing to wager I won't get that answer from anybody else. So I'm glad it got represented. All right,
it should be the answer of more people.
I understand. All right, thanks very much, Jim.
No problem.
Here with Chris Barnes of Dynamic Ram Audio. And Chris, what is the one pop culture thing of any nature, of any type, that you would want with you on a desert island, and why?
That's easy.
Ah.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Hell yeah. It'll tell me everything I need to know. It'll tell me that coconuts are mostly harmless.
and all the fish. There you go.
And all the fish.
Yeah.
All the dolphins and white mice. And it'll even help me make Scrabble letters that'll spell out what is 6 times 9. And the answer is, of course, 42.
That's right. So which medium would you prefer it in if you had to pick one?
It's obvious. It's kind of obvious given them what I do. It would have to be an audio.
So you want the radio, the radio show? I guess it was
the radio show. Okay. Yeah, definitely the radio show.
Because that was the original, right? I mean, it's been a movie, it's been books, it's been everything, but it started out as an audio drama, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the print version came first, but yeah, in terms of its wider sort of media incarnations, it started off as a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there they did do some full-length unabridged audiobooks after that, and then obviously they did the TV show and stuff, and then obviously the movie.
Okay.
Which I would really like them to do more of,
right?
But I can't ever see it happening now.
Yeah, it just never seems to translate well in the movies, does it? They just don't ever seem to really get the whole, I don't know. Well,
no, I mean, I think it kind of comes down to Douglas Adams' turn of phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a certain turn of phrase that he has when in the written medium that is just so hysterically funny, and yeah, it's one of those things that just doesn't transfer well.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much for that. We will chalk that up on the list. Now we're here with Jim Yelton of Midnight Entertainment. Jim, the question I'm asking everybody is, what is the one pop culture thing, entertainment or item, that you would want with you if you were stranded on a desert island, and why?
Oh, wow. That always comes up, you know, and people kind of narrow it down to where they say, you know, albums or music or books or TV or whatever. And man, if I was on a desert island, obviously it would have to be something, you know, written, you know, some sort of book. You know, I'd have to go with Stephen King, and just to make it interesting, I wouldn't pick one of the novels. The first thing that I fell in love with Stephen King was the Skeleton Crew collection.
Oh yeah.
And mostly because that has The Mist in it, mm-hmm. which is one of my all-time favorite Stephen King stories. So, you know, just for the variety of stuff, I would have to say Skeleton Crew.
I guess Skeleton Crew and Night Shift, I get confused in my mind. They're both pretty intense, though. They both messed me up a lot as a kid.
Yeah. And Skeleton Crew has some of the later stuff, so it's not as hit and miss as Night Shift was, I think, because Night Shift had some of his earlier short stories in it that were kind of iffy to me. Mm-hmm. But Skeleton Crew has a lot of really good stuff in it. So
okay. That's cool. Thanks, man.
No problem.
Okay, we're here with Josh Reynolds. Josh, what one pop culture thing, show, movie, toy, video game, whatever, would you want with you on a desert island if you could only have one thing, and why?
I think I would want every single film and television episode of Sherlock Holmes.
Ooh.
Basil Rathbone, Jeffrey... you know, the Granada series, all of that.
Jeremy Brett. Yeah. That was
all of that.
That would certainly give you plenty of material, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, especially if you get into the Russian television series.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a Russian television series.
Oh, there have been several, and they are all great.
Wow. All right. Well, that's cool. I'm a big Sherlock Holmes fan. I can certainly sympathize with that. I'm with you. All right. Thanks.
Not a problem.
And now we're here with John Queering, my old friend from Auburn and Atlanta and everything. John, what is the one pop culture thing or entertainment that you would want with you if you were stranded on a desert island, and why?
Ooh, gosh. I think it would have to be a book of some kind. Because of the ability, you know, to reread and such, but which one would it be? That's a hard question. Wow,
I've gotten that reaction a lot. I have to tell you.
I'm gonna go with like a Donald Westlake book or something like that. Something that would be fun to reread, but I could still, you know.
Yeah.
I could read over and over again.
I can see that. Absolutely. That's very cool. Yeah. Would you go more for Westlake or for Stark, his Stark persona?
I think if I'm stuck on the desert island, I want the Westlake. I want the Dortmunder. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, very cool. Thanks for participating. Okay, and now we're here with New Pulp author Barry Reese. Barry, as I've been asking everyone, what is the one pop culture thing you would want with you, book, video, or actual item from something, if you were stranded on a desert island, and why?
Wow. I get that a lot. If I had to take just one thing with me, you know, honestly, I think it might be Dune by Frank Herbert. You know, I love the entire series, but in particular the first book. And, there, you know, every time I've read it, and I've read it like 10, 11 times over the years, I find something different in it. And there's so many different, you know, philosophical and emotional and spiritual things in that work that I think it would be one that I could, you know, keep reading and keep enjoying during my downtime there.
That's really cool. Yeah, I love that series, and yeah, I agree, that book too. And that's interesting. It's fascinating how I get answers that I don't expect every single time.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks so much, Barry.
No problem.
Okay, now we are with Bobby Polite, my longtime friend and co-plotter on the Sentinels books, among other things. And Bobby, I've got to ask you what I've asked everybody else, which is, if you were stranded on a desert island, what is the one pop culture thing you would want with you? And it can be, you know, I've had all sorts of answers. I mean, everything from types of movies on video to books to, you know, devices to all sorts of things. So what would be the thing that comes to your mind, one pop culture thing you'd want with you on a desert island? And we're assuming you have electricity, by the way.
Electricity. Well, I'm not going to worry about the electricity. I'm going to answer that based on what immediately came to mind, not with a lot of thought. And this is going to be stupid as hell. Stupid as hell, because I'm on a desert island. I'm probably not going to get off anyway. So I want this big, giant plushie of Rainbow Dash that I saw this woman make on DeviantArt. It's as big as a damn pony. She's got her daughter sitting on it to ride. So I keep it there just to have somebody to talk to. My version of Wilson from that movie with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, exactly.
There's my answer. That's what came to my mind. I'm going with that.
Go with that. I like it. And that's a colorful answer. I really like it. All right. Very good. Thanks, Bobby.
Sure.
And I'm joined now by my co-host on the Auburn Wishbone podcast, our football show, and occasional guest on here on the White Rocket podcast, John Ringer. John, I'm going to ask you, like I've asked everybody for the last several episodes for the anniversary show, what is the one pop culture thing, can be movies or a book or comics or whatever, and we're assuming you have electricity if you need it, but what is the one pop culture thing you would want with you if you were stranded on a desert island, and why?
On a practical, I mean, since, like, I'd love to have, my Xbox hooked up to the internet and TV and stuff, because I could do so much. I could play games, I could watch movies and all this stuff. The simple gut answer is I would like to have my copies of The Lord of the Rings Extended Director's Cut Edition, because I watch those every year all the way through, and I would enjoy that. But the other part is maybe I'd like to have a Kindle, because if I went for a long time without books to read, I'd go crazy.
I'm the same way. I agree. That's a very good answer. I like the Kindle. I don't think anybody has said the Kindle so far, although I've been recording these over a period of months, so they may well have, but I think that's a good answer. All right. Thanks so much, John. And now I'm here joined by Mike Gordon of New Legend Productions and Tiki Zombie. Mike, the question I'm asking everybody I now have for you, which is this. Off the top of your head, what would be the one pop culture thing that you would want with you if you were stranded on a desert island, and why? And you can have electricity if you need it.
So if I want a box set of certain DVDs, that's all right?
Yeah. Yeah, or it can be a book, or it can be any kind of media thing, whatever. What would be the one thing you could not live without on a desert island?
Wow, that is, boy, that's a toughie. Mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody said that as well. So, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
My initial, right off the top of my head, the first thing I can think of is a complete Blu-ray, all three seasons of the original classic Star Trek series.
Oh, yeah. That's always a good call. You never go wrong with that.
So I think that in a lot of ways was my gateway to a lot of other things. Certainly, I wouldn't even know where to begin if I picked, you know, some comics. So, but as far as anything else goes with the, you know, DVDs and TVs and movies and all that, I think it has to start with Star Trek.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's a good solid answer. All right, very good. Thanks a bunch. All right, I'm joined now by Ethan Ringer, my Wishbone co-host partner, John Ringer's son. Ethan, if you were stranded on a desert island, what is the one pop culture thing that you would want with you to entertain you? And it can be, you know, pretend you have electricity if you need it or whatever, but books, movies, whatever, what would be the one specific thing you'd want more than anything else?
I would say most likely the Avengers movie, just because you can watch that movie 1,000 times and never get bored of it.
I hear you, brother. Very good. Very good. I think that's a very good answer. All right. Thanks a bunch.
You're welcome.
Okay, and now I'm joined by Ralph Angelo, good friend of mine and a sci-fi and new pulp author himself. Ralph, for the anniversary episode, tell us, what is the one pop culture thing, it can be any sort of media, and you can have electricity if you need it for it, the one pop culture thing that you would want with you if you were stranded on a desert island, and why?
Oh, you know what? I'd have to say my phone.
Yeah.
Phone. Yeah. Absolutely.
And why?
Well, because it can do what these new, these smartphones can do, just about anything. All right. You can watch movies on them. Yeah. You can, obviously, you can call for help if you're stranded on an island. Well, you've got satellite service. Or
I know. I gave you electricity. I'm not sure if I'm giving you service.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess you'd have to have it to watch the thing. So, yeah, okay. Fine. Well, you got service.
You can also record. You can put full movies on the SD cards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, music, movies, entertainment. I'd have to say, I'd have to go with that, with the smartphone.
All right. Nice, nicely played. Well done. All right. Thanks a bunch, Ralph.
Nah, no problem.
Okay, and now I'm joined by Percival Constantine. PC, tell me this. What is the one pop culture thing that you would want with you if you were stranded on a desert island, and why? And by the way, you can have electricity if you need it.
One pop culture thing. You mean like some sort of device from pop culture?
It could be, a movie, a series of movies, a TV show, a book, a series of books. Something, some entertainment to while away the time while you're trapped on that desert island. What would be your one thing you'd have to have with you?
You know what? I think I'd probably have to take the movies from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
Minus Iron Man 3.
My brother. Yes. Very cool. And what is it about those that would kind of make that your choice?
You know what? the thing that works about them, and me and a friend were just discussing this the other night, is that they're superhero movies, but that's kind of secondary because each of them has kind of its own unique style. Because with Iron Man, you've got like the techno thriller. With Captain America, you've got like a whole political thriller thing going. Mm-hmm. With Thor, you've got more sci-fi fantasy. Mm-hmm. And with Guardians of the Galaxy, you have more space opera comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just like it's got all this great expanse of genres that I love, and it's all linked together with characters that I grew up with.
Yeah, I think that's a very fine answer. All right, thanks so much, man.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
And now I'm joined by nobody but myself. So over the last 2 years that I've done this show, I managed to get all those people you just heard to answer that question. And I thought it was really interesting how many different answers, but how many different types of answers we got. You know, some people wanted to sort of try to cheat the scenario by having some way of rescue or some way of communication, and that's perfectly acceptable and fine. Other people immediately thought of their most the thing that entertains them the most, the movie or the the TV show or book or whatever, and others just thought of something that would make them happy, that they would enjoy having with them. And so that was just thought that was really interesting and a really nice sort of a survey and an insight into the inner workings of some very creative people's minds. So I hope that you enjoyed that segment, and I wish that I had remembered to get everyone who's been on the show to do it, and I wish I had thought to do it early enough because we didn't get people like Mark Buskett. We didn't get David Wright. There are several people that appeared earlier on, Rick Lai, that I would have also liked to have had answer that question. And to those people, I say, I'm sorry it didn't work out that way, but believe me, your contributions to this series at the time that they happened, maybe before I was planning to do this anniversary show and to ask you these questions, is very much appreciated. And everybody who's contributed to the success of the White Rocket podcast over the last 2 years, I am in your debt tremendously. I really appreciate everything that you folks have done. And also to the listeners, because what would the show be if nobody listened to it? It would be me talking to somebody. It would be a conversation. It is one long conversation, but preferably one that people find interesting and want to hear. So again, I appreciate not only the guests, but also the listeners more than I can ever express on the show. I thought I'd look back and kind of give some overall thoughts about where the show has been in the last 2 years, our first 50 episodes. We've done some different kinds of episodes. We've had sort of topical conversations like, Battlestar Galactica or Marvel superheroes or, so forth. We've had movie reviews like Guardians of the Galaxy. We've had our year-end movie look back specials with Bobby Polite. We've had book analysis like Ready Player One. We've had audiobook specials where I've read part of my book. We even had an episode where I was interviewed by the late lamented, the guys from the show that's late lamented, the Book Cave, Rick and Dr. Art. We've had panels from Dragon Con, and we'll have a few more of those coming up. We've really kind of done quite a broad variety of different podcast shows in only 50 episodes, and I'm very proud of what we've accomplished. I've mentioned before that, there's quite a few people out there whose work in podcasting has sort of impressed me and inspired me to try to provide something like that for the audience, for the listeners. And I continue to be grateful for the inspirational work that's done by Michael Bailey and by Gary Mitchell and Deanna Toxopoulos, who were good enough to have me on their Revolution SF show early on and kind of cut my podcasting teeth there. And of course, the Earth Station One guys who had me on their show for a number of occasions first, and then very quickly and kindly extended their welcome to me to be here as part of their network. It's quite an honor to be part of the Earth Station One stable and to have been on it from so very early on. As to the future and what we have coming up, the next 50 episodes, and believe me, I have every intention of doing at least 50 more and hopefully even beyond that for the foreseeable future. But the next string of episodes, we'll have a few more things from Dragon Con that'll carry us through the winter. I wish I had more, but as I think I've mentioned previously, several of the files were lost. I had a wonderful hour-long interview with Harry Turtledove, much in the style of my interview with Larry Niven last year, and it simply, the recording vanished off of the phone that I recorded it on. It's heartbreaking, it's depressing, but there's nothing to be done. It's gone. So I have several more sort of topical shows in mind, with returning guests who have done such a fine job previously. I'll go ahead and tease out one of them now. John Ringer and I are preparing very soon to do a look at the first six Dune novels by Frank Herbert and the movies and TV miniseries that were made from one or some of them. So we have that coming up pretty soon. And I also plan on doing a new Battlestar Galactica episode to complement the Battlestar Galactica episode that Jim Yelton and I did last month. And if you have any suggestions of topics that we need to include, I mean, we're going to eventually hit just about everything I can think of, certainly. But if you do have suggestions, send them in to me. And otherwise, I think that we will let this episode sort of roll off into the distance. This was not a very long episode. Obviously, when you're cutting down just a minute and a half for each guest and you only have about 20 guests who you end up having clips from, it's not going to be a very long show. But I hope you've enjoyed it, and tune in for number 51 where we get back on track with a brand new topic and get rolling again. As for now, to the strains of Doctor Who's theme, the rocket is going to get on out of here for another episode, and we will see you folks, I hope, down the road. Wait, wait, Van. Don't go yet. You forgot the most important thing. What's that, Van? You haven't told the audience what you would take with you to a desert island. You thought that you could get out of here without having to answer the question yourself, and you almost succeeded. It was like a sort of a subconscious thing in the back of your mind. But in post-production, you realized, hey, I never answered that question myself, and so having realized it, I kind of feel obligated to do it. And wow, now I can feel exactly how the various guests felt being put on the spot like that episode after episode, because I can sit here right now and think about it and already know what the question is. They were hit with it instantly, right off the bat. They were hit with it, and they had to just come right out with something. And I have a little more of a luxury, but let me just tell you, and let me just tell all those guests, having the luxury of more time to think about it actually makes it harder because now I have to think of something that I actually feel good with rather than just coming out with the first thing I think of. So, you know, I'm going to cheat because guess what? It's my show and I can cheat. So I'm going to tell you the first thing that comes to my mind, but then I'm going to put a little more deep thought into it that the others were not afforded the opportunity to do. Hey, let them get their own shows and then they can do this. the first thing that came to my mind is that I have always answered the question, you know, what is your favorite thing in the universe? Your favorite entertainment? And my favorite entertainment has always been, I mean, my favorite pop culture thing, okay? The one story, characters, universe, world, whatever, that appealed to me above all others has always been, since I discovered it at the original time it first aired, and some of you know this because you've heard me talk about it before, Babylon 5. So there's a part of me that would take the complete Babylon 5 series, all five seasons, plus the movies, plus Crusade, heck, even throw in those other, you know, Legend of the Rangers and the direct-to-DVD thing, just throw it all in there and give me a means to watch it and hear it. And I could probably be pretty content for quite a while with Babylon 5. The thing of it is, though, I've already watched Babylon 5 all the way through at least three times back in the late 90s. I haven't in the last 12, 14, 15 years, but back in 97, 98 when it was airing and then 99, I probably watched it all the way through at least three times. No more than three times. So all the sort of surprises and twists and turns, I know them by heart. Plus, some of you know I really obsessed over that show for a number of years, from probably about 1995 or 96 to about 2002. From about 96 to 2002, I totally obsessed and just geeked out over Babylon 5. I knew everything about it that there was to know, pretty much, that I could find. I had all the souvenirs. I had all the, you know, basically anything that came out Babylon 5, no matter how obscure, I had it. And so I kind of burned that. That ground is burned over. I burned that out. I'm no longer, I mean, I still have the absolute affection and love for Babylon 5 that I've always had since the early 90s, since 1993 when I watched the pilot. But I'm no longer fanatical for it. And I don't really have any one thing that I'm that fanatical for in science fiction fantasy anymore. I mean, you know, I could even, you know, similarly, I could say, well, you know, what's my favorite book series? I could take Zelazny's Amber books, or heck, even all of Zelazny's stories and books. But I've read and listened to the audiobooks of the Amber books a dozen times, probably. I've almost memorized them. I wouldn't even need them with me on the desert island. I could just lie on the beach on the desert island and recite them to myself, you know, or to the volleyball, the natives, or Bobby's My Little Pony giant pony, if it's still there from when he got off the desert island and I got trapped there, probably trying to rescue him. So, you know, the Amber books, Zelazny stuff, that would be there, or Babylon 5. But, you know, I might just go completely off the reservation entirely. What if I could take with me all the Auburn football games of my lifetime on video? Oh, now I would know pretty much how all of them came out, but I love, you know, watching football and studying all the intricacies of how things play out. So I might zig instead of zagging there and actually take a bunch of football games. That would certainly entertain me for weeks and weeks and weeks if I could watch those. So yeah, I mean, you know, you might think, well, why isn't Van saying like a complete run of Avengers comics? But yeah, again, all the stuff that I love, I've read and watched and consumed now to the point that I'm just not really dying to spend another few years on a desert island with it. So you know what I'm going to say? This is going to be my final answer. My final answer is I want to take with me to the desert island a 20-volume set of something I've never read. Because for me, a good bit of the magic and the love that I have, the magic that I feel and experience and the love that I have for pop culture material is in the discovery. So I think I'd want to take books with me because books are my favorite medium. I love novels more than I love movies, TV shows, or comics. I love the novel format. And I would want to take something with me that it would need to be something that like a committee of my friends that know me best selected for me, that I somehow in all of my life never got around to reading.
So people that I trust their opinions about me could vote and pick out what it would be, and then load those 20 books into a big waterproof box, and I would take that with me to the desert island and hope that my eyesight held out until I got rescued. So there's my final answer, audience. Something that I have not experienced before in the world of literature. And preferably something really, really cool. I mean, I love crime fiction detective type stories a lot, but I wouldn't want 20 volumes of Wallander. I love Wallander, but I don't want that to be the only thing I have. You know, I would get really, really sick of Wallander very quickly if that was all I had. So something big and epic, like 20 Horus Heresy books I didn't know existed that were written by Dan Abnett and Graham McNeil. See, that would get it done right there. That would get me through the desert island. So there you go. All right. Now, as I was saying previously, to the dulcet tones of the Doctor Who theme, the White Rocket really is going to get on out of here this time. And again, we will see you all down the road with big number 51 coming up very soon. Take care.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.